Hi, welcome to an inspirational message recorded live at Little Falls Christian Center.
Coming live from Little Falls, I want to say it's a joy for me on this feast of Passover to be with my dear Pastor Harold, his wife Maudy, and a wonderful church. So, Little Falls, let's give a warm welcome to everybody that's on air. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 6. Matthew 28 and verse number 6. It says, He is not here. Come on, somebody. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. I want you today to say after I've made a statement, Jesus is risen indeed. So I'm going to say, He is risen. Only you, brother, will get a bunny chow. He is risen. Give the Lord a big shout of praise. You know, this weekend, we as the Church of Jesus celebrated the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You know that it is pivotal. And without the death, without the resurrection, we don't have really a real faith or a foundation to stand on. So tonight, I want to tell you that you need to understand that the angel came and said to the two ladies, He's not here. Many times, the church does not take prophecy seriously. We're living at a level of emotionalism. Jesus said, you will destroy this temple, and on the third day, it will rise again. Amen. Jesus said that. But what has happened? They went to the tomb. It's because people don't take prophecy seriously. And so, you need to understand, your prophecy is not for your prophetic book. It's to be lived out. It has to be believed. And something about prophecy that I've heard, that I've learned, sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes a season. And Paul says to the Roman church, call those things that be not as though they are. I believe right now, we know that the whole world is going through a lot of difficulties. We know that evil is starting to emerge in a way like we've never seen it before. I want you to understand, world leaders will be confused. But it does not alter the fact the tomb is empty. Oh, hallelujah. I say it does not alter the fact the tomb is empty. So I want to ask you a question today. Why every year we celebrate the cross, we celebrate Jesus being buried, we celebrate the resurrection, and every year we come, we shout, we praise, but our lives never change? Because the resurrection, as Paul the Apostle said, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Hallelujah. Amen. The same Spirit. So your life should change. Oh, I love my pastor. Oh, let me go one step further. I love my pastor's wife. Oh, I love my church. Loving everything but not changing. So I ask you, who are you here for? We are here for the transformation power of the open tomb. Because the tomb is empty, I am more than a conqueror. Are you listening to me? Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, what do you think about this? I have come to the altar call and have confessed my sin, but when I join my friends, I do what I used to do. You see, folks, you need to understand the power of the blood is not only to cleanse your sin, the power of the blood is to deliver you. Is to deliver you. I can do all things through Christ. I can say to the devil that you will not come against me because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, somebody. Amen. So we need to live the resurrection power. When temptation comes, do we allow the flesh to fight it or do we allow the resurrection power? Oh, but Pastor Gopal, you know, are you so holy? Yes, I'm very holy. I got a lot of holes. So let me give you a little illustration, right? You can allow the birds to go over your head. Fly over your head, but don't allow it to build a nest and lay eggs. Some people say, well, I've got a bad thought going through my mind. We can understand that. We have feet of clay. But one thing you need to understand, don't let that thought become a nest. Bear eggs, and then you're in trouble. I learned long time ago, when I pray, I must pray that every evil thought must be submissive and be taken captive and have a stillborn birth. Every evil thought must have a miscarriage. It cannot be born because I live in the power of the open tomb. Come on, somebody. You need to understand today. We are not going to be in a place that is called the emergency ward. The open tomb is not here. He's risen. It's to give you and me power to live an overcoming life. Hallelujah. I am not a victim for the devil. I am a victor because my Jesus conquered death, conquered sin, conquered the devil. Shackles have been broken and I am free. Come on, somebody. Amen. So the evidence is not Sunday. The evidence is your life. That Jesus is alive. You know, some people, every time, same problem. January headache. February migraine, March lack of money, April mother-in-law problem. Come on, somebody. And then, like Pastor said, arthritis in May. People have all kinds of problems. I ask you then, if you have all those problems every month of the year, then why do you celebrate the empty tomb? If you really celebrate the empty tomb, I used to have those problems. I have them no more. Come on, somebody. I used to have those problems. I have them no more. Why? Jesus didn't just have the empty tomb that we go to Israel and we see the empty tomb. Jesus gave us the empty tomb that we can live like more than conquerors. Amen. You are not to be dry bones. God has allowed the open tomb to change the dry bones into a mighty army. Oh, the warriors of God are rising up. I said the warriors of God are rising up. We are going forward with the resurrection power. Amen. So let's not finish this weekend and wait now for the feast of Pentecost. Let this feast make a difference. Let this feast give you the power of the resurrection that the devil cannot put you around his finger. You are more than a conqueror. My problem with Christians, they sing our songs, they clap during the singing, they give an offering, and they go home, and they live in their own life. Time has come. You have to live the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. It dwells in me. Therefore, I'm going to live more than a conqueror. Now, let me say a few things here. I've got so much in my heart to tell you. But in Matthew 28, verse number 12 down to 14, it says, and when they had assembled with the elders were the Pharisees, and they consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, you are to say, his soldiers came by night, stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble. Now, all of you know that when Pontius Pilate said Jesus must be crucified, somebody whispered in his ears. The disciples of Jesus said he's going to rise on the third day. Can you believe all these big-time military people can't handle the disciples of Jesus? The disciples of Jesus at this stage were in disarray. At this stage, they were fearful. At this stage, they want to throw in the towel. And so what happens is, this is beyond the presidential guards. These guys were so fit. And these guys were so slim, and these guys were so skilled, they'll just take you out. But here now, heaven gives a shout. The lightning, the thundering, bang, bang, bang. And guess what happened? The stone rolled away. And now these people got knocked down. They didn't know what hit them. I'm telling you, the devil and his archangels and his people upon the earth are going to be knocked out because one word from God will destroy them forever. I want you to know today, and I'm very serious about it, I'm preaching now for 45 years. If I started preaching all over again, I will tell Christians all over again that we give the devil too much of credit. We fight, we blame the devil. We make wrong decisions, we blame the devil. This is the only thing the devil can do is be a fake. The devil lives in China. Louis Vuitton, fake. Hugo Boss, fake. Come on now, are you listening to me? Why do you give him so much of credit? You know what? The language of the devil. Ching chong chang chung ching chang. Now, people don't understand that we give the devil too much of credit. Oh, the devil's on my children. The devil's on my this. The devil's on that. The Bible says we have an empty tomb. We are more powerful than the biggest devil on the planet. Come on, somebody. And when you understand that, God's going to give you the victory. So they said to them, we're going to give you large sums of money. Because these was the elite guys. So what they did, it says you should lie. You know what's going to be happening in the last days? There's going to be so much of deception. The church pastor needs a gift that they don't desire and they don't pray for. It's called the spirit of discernment. The spirit of discernment. You need to know which is the devil. You need to know which is God. And you need to know which is you. Some of you don't have discernment to know which is you. And we need to understand that. And in these last days, there's going to be a lot of deception. You know, I'm so sick and tired of seeing so many people argue on social media. When they argue on social media, I feel sorry for them. I'm not here to fight you. I'm here to declare the truth. Jesus is the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Amen. You are in a Bible-believing church. You're in a church that believes the Word of God. In other words, you cannot walk in deception. You walk in truth. And truth is light. No darkness. Light dispels darkness. I'm telling you, darkness is in trouble because the light is going to shine. Hallelujah. Now, Pastor, I don't know about you. In the church, everyone brings their little light. I say, that's nothing because I am the floodlight. How many of you know? Tell your neighbor, you're a floodlight. And just shout across if your neighbor is not near. Say, hey, neighbor, you're a floodlight. Hallelujah. Why? Because the greater light is in us. We are more than conquerors. Darkness is going to be dispelled because of the light that is in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, I want to say something here. I hope it doesn't become controversial. In social media this weekend, Many of our politicians on Friday went to church. They tell in Bible stories about the crucifixion. They know about the Bible. They don't know the author of the Bible. Are you listening to me? I believe that's deception. They're using God's people in God's time to propagate their policies. The house of the Lord is the house of the Lord. It shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Come on, somebody. Are you listening to me? We are not a business. We're not a political party. We are the house of God. We transcend money. We transcend politics. We transcend the world because we're not of the world. We're in the world. We're the light of the world. Come on, somebody. Oh, do you know who came to our church? Who? A spook. Don't get excited and get impressed by people who don't carry the resurrection spirit. I'm telling you, Pastor, if the people don't carry the same spirit, I say you have to have my DNA. If you don't have my DNA, we cannot walk together. You cannot walk together. You have to have the same DNA. Hallelujah. You have to believe in Jesus. You don't come to Jesus because you want something. You come to Jesus because there is no other way. Are you listening to me? Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Beside Him, there is no other way. Come on, somebody. Are you listening to me? We have the light. The light will shine. And when the light shines, darkness must leave. Hallelujah. We must become bold with the resurrection power. I am not going to give apology for speaking the truth. You may not agree with me. Who cares? They never agreed with Jesus. If you speak the truth, you're going to be persecuted. They're going to tell you that you don't have human rights or respect. Don't you understand different people's lifestyle? The Bible talks about male and female. Come on, somebody. Now, I'm telling you, I and your pastor and every other pastor who speaks the truth are going to get persecuted for the truth. But the truth will set us free. The truth will set us free. We don't want compromises. We don't want people to water down the truth. We don't want people to say, hey, it's not the right time to say this. There is no right time. This is the time. So don't preach the wrong gospel because they give you a large sum of money. Can I tell you something? You're not up for sale. They can be bought and sold and traded in. But we are not for sale. I said, I'm washed in the blood. I am not for sale. You are washed in the blood. You are not for sale. Because Jesus died on the cross. He paid the price. And are we going to sell our birthright for lots of money? Those things are natural. Those things won't last. But the things of God are eternal. Now let's move on. Let's move on. I'm getting too excited here. Pastor, you should just stop me. Right? Go to this. It says in John 20 and verse 17. John 20 and verse 17. Jesus said unto her, who? Mary. Mary got very excited. What did Jesus tell her? Touch me not. You want to be a little bit blessed today. Tell the person next to you, touch me not. I don't know how long that will last. For I am not yet ascended to my Father. But I go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now, let me just bring a little understanding here, right? The understanding I want to bring here is how come Jesus allowed Thomas, come you doubter. Listen, when you're having a baby, don't call him Thomas. He'll be a doubter in your house. Thomas, put your finger, nail prints in my hand, my side, my feet. But he tells Mary, don't touch me. And Mary loved him so much. She was really crying. You know, I'm visualizing how she's crying. She's crying, ha, ha, ha. And then pours the tons of water, you know. She has so much water in her head, tons came out. And guess what? Heavy snot came out. And there was no tissues those days. Wet wipes wasn't those days. I wonder what she did. I know some of you don't have an imagination. You are so boring. You're so boring. Tell your neighbor, have an imagination. Bring some color in your life. Now watch this. She jumped to touch him. He said, don't touch me. Why? Because Jesus has not ascended to the Father. He had to take the blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And then when he came down, then he said, Thomas, touch me. The big issue is people don't understand. Without the cross, there is no open tomb. Without the open tomb, the cross is just a murderer that died. They are totally linked together. And so even till today, when the devil accuses you, you know what the devil says? All those people, Little Falls, they're rascals. And looking at you, some of you are big rascals. And so the devil says to God, look at that guy, he's a rascal. Those people, hey, by the way, you saw that preacher, Clive Goble, he's a big rascal. So Jesus steps in and he says, you cannot accuse the brethren. Yes, they were rascals, but look at the blood, Father. The blood makes us whiter than the snow. There's power in the blood. The blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I had sin. I had made mistakes. My life has been messy. But thank God for the blood that's on the mercy seat. Through the blood, God answers my prayer. Come on, somebody. Amen. You need to understand, the blood was shed. That blood makes us whiter than snow. Oh, but Pastor Gopal, you don't know, last week I lost my temper. First thing, go look for it. Secondly, you're allowed to lose your temper, but come and get it restored at the mercy seat. Oh, but Pastor Gopal, you came from KwaZulu. We don't make mistakes here in Gauteng. No. You also make mistakes. You allowed to make mistakes, but come back to the mercy seat. Because your mistakes will bring condemnation. Your mistakes will bring guilt, but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I said the blood shall never lose its power. Oh, glory to God. I am cleansed. There is power. Power, wonder, working power in the blood of the Lamb. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Because of the cross, you can never walk in condemnation. I always tell people, don't look at the rearview mirror. Look at the big windscreen. Because the devil wants to remind you of your past. Jesus wants to let you see your future. I say to you tonight, because the tomb is empty, your future is bright. Your future is glorious. Your future is filled with purpose. Your future is filled with fulfillment. Because you need to move forward and trust God. And I say to many of you today, you possibly I've come through 3 months. Do you know that today is the last day of March? And I make a public announcement. Legends are born in April. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so you've come through January. Your prayers on New Year's Eve hasn't come to pass. You came to February. You lost some deals. You've had some hiccups. You came to March and you thought, well, something's about to happen, but nothing happened. Now you came to the feast of Passover. I say something's about to happen. I say something's about to happen. Come on, somebody. There's a miracle that's in the house. I said there's a miracle that's in the house. God's about to make a way where there is no way. Come on, somebody. God is about to give you the supernatural because of the cross and the empty tomb. Hallelujah. It takes the supernatural to give you an empty tomb. It's not the natural. It's the supernatural. And I want to encourage you, don't give up. I want to encourage you, don't throw in the towel. I want to encourage you, don't go backwards. I'm telling you, sometimes people don't understand. Yes, you walk in the flesh and you go backwards, and you go backwards, and you go backwards, and you go backwards. And you wonder, oh, I was there. Look where I am. Everything the devil stole, God will restore. Come on, somebody. I say God's going to do a quick work. God's going to do a quick work because there is an empty tomb. Hallelujah. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's through an empty tomb. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. You need to understand that today. Now let me read for you the scripture in Matthew 28 and verse 7. Jesus says to his disciples, and go quickly. How you must go? Somebody says quickly with a slow spirit. What I found out, Pastor, a lot of Christians, their engine is run with perfume. We need to get some people to the open tomb so they can have some jet fuel. Tell your neighbor, I'm getting some jet fuel from the Feast of Passover. Come on, talk to your neighbor. Say, good evening, neighbor. I am getting some jet fuel. Come on, somebody. I'm getting what? That's right. You're going to take off and soar like an eagle. I said, you're about to take off and you're going to soar like an eagle. You are going to have wings of eagle. You are not meant to be earthbound. You come in today to celebrate an open tomb. You cannot live the way you live in. People say, Boss Gobel, why are you so blessed? I'll tell you why I'm blessed. By the way, did I tell you? My middle name is blessed. My first name is blessed. My surname is blessed. So tell my name. I can see jealousy in you. Why am I blessed? Because I believe. I didn't go to Israel to see. I believe the tomb is empty. And I am blessed. The curse is reversed. Your iniquities are reversed. Every form of scheme, every form of weapon, everything the devil will bring against you, the enemy will come like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord will rise up against the enemy because there's an empty tomb. Come on, somebody. How can you live pitiful? How can you live negative? The Lord says, go quickly. You know, today, I had a young couple. Oh, running down, just about to go. And just like how Morty gets all the food for me, my staff, they get all the food for me. When I finish preaching, I forget about the preaching. I remember the food. So I'm going for the food. And they pull my hand, Pastor. They pull my hand. You know what they said to me? From COVID, 4 years, we haven't been in church. But today we made a decision. We have to go to church. They said they came through the doors. The presence of God hit them. Do not forsake the assembling of the saints. You can't get this anointing watching with a cup of coffee with your PJs at home. If you really want to go online, you should go shop online. You should go sleep online. You should go do everything online. But you can go out in the secular world, but you can't come to the house of God. And then when you're in trouble, you want to come to God. So what you are saying, Lord, if you want me to come to you, give me trouble, give me trouble. You know, I want to give you a testimony. I trust this will help you. Frankie here came with me. We bought a 15-acre property. And I'm building a 24-hour house prayer chapel, medical center, and church. And on the other side, I built a cemetery. And on the other side, I'm building houses for the poor. And on the other side, we're doing farming. So, yes, Clive Gopal now. I built 7 houses. Let them all clap, 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 clap. And God and I had a dialogue. Now, do you know when you have a dialogue, don't go tell people, God told me. You're just having a dialogue. See, when God and I was having a dialogue, he didn't say, Clive! I was in the spirit. I was in the atmosphere where I want to talk to my father. And so he said to me, why did you tell the people you build in 10 houses? I said, so Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, why didn't you go tell them that you're going to build 100? You said I should not sweat. I must live by faith. Now you're putting fire under my feet. So I said to the Lord, you know the story. Already 7 families are in 7 houses, 2-bedroom houses. I'm building now, next month, 3 more. And Pastor, praise to God, those 3 houses, somebody went with me yesterday. I told him, you cannot give me any more money. He said, why? I said, because all the houses are paid for. Not prayed for, paid for. But don't clap at anything until I tell you. I'll give you a signal because you'll clap the wrong place. Okay? All the young people are here. I want to hang out with you. I want to chill tonight. Now, having this dialogue, God told me and sharing with me and talking to me like we're having this little chat, he says, you were scared. I said, Lord, what are you saying? He said, you knew if you build 10 houses, you'll get the money. Over 2.5, nearly 3 million. I know for you it's petty cash. But I had the money. I got the money. Built 7 houses, got money for the 3 houses. And God says, why didn't you tell 100? And then he came right in between and hit me on my nose. He says, I know what happened. If you, now you're finishing 10. If you finish 30, you will be embarrassed. Why? You told the people 100. He says, you need to understand when you talk faith, sometimes other people will finish the job for you. A father gives his dream and his son runs with the vision. When God gives you a word, doesn't mean you will finish it. But you give somebody a dream so somebody else can have a vision. Because he can do nothing without standing on his father's shoulders. He will see more than what you saw because you've allowed him your shoulders. See my girl right now? We'll talk a little bit about it. She's now doing much more than me. And I'm seeing how she's flying. She makes me look as if she's an eagle, I'm a sparrow. But you know, I'm mature enough. I always put faith in them. And today when they're doing well, it is because God gave me the word. And so what happens is, because we tell the people 100 and we only do 10 or we do 30, we start having embarrassment. And God says, when you start to have embarrassment, you're about to walk in your prophecy to please people and not me. So So I said, Lord, that's fine. So I took my stance from the word of God. You remember? There was a storm. The Lord said to Peter, get out of the boat. Peter got out of the boat and he took 1, 2, 3, 4 steps. Then he saw the wind. Then he saw the waves. Then he saw the storm. Cried out to the Lord. The Lord picked him up. Many of us talk more about how Peter drowned, but we never say he took 4 steps. I want to ask you a question. You're sitting doing nothing, not walking in your prophecy. You have not taken any steps. And yet you criticize somebody who took 4 steps. He broke gravity. This life of faith is not easy. You have to pay a price. And don't please people. Don't get the accolades and the awards of people, because you don't serve people. You work with people. You serve the Lord. I want to tell you, in the month of April, May, June, some of you, your boat is about to rock and you have to step out and walk on the water. There's a miracle coming from the open tomb that's going to change your life. Come on, somebody. You have been in a place of nothing. You've been in a place of barrenness. You've been in a place of drought. Doors have shut in your face. People has used different ways to steal from you. But I'm telling you, the anointing that comes from the empty tomb, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is going to open up the heavens for you. Don't go home now. We finished another feast. Let this feast work for you. By the time you get to the feast of Pentecost, you'll be walking with Passover and Pentecost. Double anointed. And so today, may the Lord bless all of you, Pastor. Let's go. My time is up. Come on, give the Lord a big shout.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.